Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Chaf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins the second line from the top of Daf Chof Ches at the Mishnah. The topic heading that we have assigned to this sugya, you will notice in the outside margin under the Nosei heading, Nosei meaning topic heading, where we have written Ein Loi La'odam La'achrim Es Kol Nechosov. The Mishnah instructs us that a person should not machrim. Machrim is a form of dedication, which we will discuss further as we learn the sugyas that are relevant to this, but hachroma has to do with a dedication that will go to the Kohanim, or possibly to the Beis HaMikdash, depending on how one states it. Nevertheless, when one is machrim, the Mishnah says one should not be machrim all of his property. In fact, given different aspects of one's holdings, one should not machrim all of that particular holding. The Mishnah, machrim adam mi tzono, mi, the mem is emphasized here, meaning miktsas, part of. A person, if he wants to make a cherem dedication, he can be machrim part of his flock, u mibakoro, part of his herd, u me avodov, some of his slaves, u mishiv chosov, some of his bondmaids, haknanim. The term knanim is associated with avodov shibchosov haknanim. U mistei achuzoso. Mistei achuzoso are lands that he has by way of inheritance. So we are taught here that of these different types of holdings, he can machrim part of them, but not all of them. Vim hechrim es kulam einom muchramim divrei Rav Elazar. And if someone were to be machrim all of those holdings, the chayrim dedication would not take hold. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azaria, ma'im legavoa ein odam rashoi lahachrim kol nechosov. Mind you, if even for divine purposes, a person is not entitled to dedicate all of his property, al achas kama v'kama shiyehe odom chos al nechosov, all the more so, a person should be careful with his own holdings with regard to his own welfare. The Gemara. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that a person should not be machrim everything? D'tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that features a posuk, Vayikra Chof Zayin, posuk Chof Ches. We have written this posuk on the side of the Gemara, on the inside margin. What we will do is first read the posuk to get a flavor of it, and then see how it is darshaned as we go on in the Gemara. The posuk reads, Ach kol cherim asher yachrim ish l'ashem mikol asher loy, me odam uvehemo umisdei achuzoso, lo yimocher v'lo yigoel, kol cherim kodesh kodoshim hu l'ashem. The Tanaic source that you see in a frame, Mikol Asher Lo, this is a reference to his portables, and we emphasize the mem in the pasuk Mikol, indicating part of, from, Velo Kol Asher Lo, not everything that he has, Me Adam, Velo Kol Adam, of the people that he owns, the slaves, some of them, but not all of them, Mi Behemo, Velo Kol Behemo, the pasuk didn't actually have the word, the mem, mi behemo word in it. It had uvehemo. But apparently, this point is actually mentioned by one of the girsos on the inside margin. But the point is, the spirit of this is that one should not machrim all of his behemos either. Umi ste achuzoso, velo kol ste achuzoso, velo kol ste achuzo. Part of his land holdings, of his inheritance fields, but not all of them. Yochol lo yachrim v'mhichrim yu muchramim. Could it be that though we're instructed not to be mahrim all of one's holdings of particular items, but if he would do it, it would take hold? Talmud Lomar, Ach Kol Chirim Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The pasuk says Ach Kol Chirim, and the word Ach is what's called a miut, a limitation expression, indicating to us that it would not take hold. Amar Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah. Very similar to what we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah says here, Ma'im l'gavo ein odom rashoi l'hachrim kol nechasov. If, mind you, for heavenly purposes or divine purposes, one is not to dedicate all of his holdings, alachas kama v'kama she odom chosal nechasov. All the more so, we learn from this how one should be careful with what he owns. Now the Gemara goes on to point out why I need all of these examples. Why do I need all of these examples of partial and but not all? We saw portables, we saw animals, we saw slaves. Utsricha. Before we go further, as we look ahead in the Gemara, we'll notice a double underline with dots in it, and this is featured in the outside margin in our nosei, hemshech. Hemshech means a continuation. We're continuing the discussion we started earlier. Mivneh, and the Mivneh means a structural note. So here the double underline is featured, explaining, we explain here in our note, Tzitutim mehaposuk. These are quotes. What you see double underlined with dots in it are quotes from the pasuk. Hezber hatzorech shel haTorah lefarid kol dover she'ein lahachrim kulo. We're going to explain why the Torah has to specify each item, why not to machrim all of it. The Gemara utzricha. I need each one of the examples. De'i kosav rachmona mikol asher loy. Had the Torah said, of all, not meaning partial of his portables, havi amino, kol de islay lo lachrim. Maybe from this pasuk, if I had just this pasuk on its own, mikol asher lo, I would have thought that the Torah is warning against being machrim everything that he has. Avol min echad lichrime kule, but one type of holding he could be machrim all of it. In other words, if a person were, let us say, to dedicate as a chirim his property, but not all of his property, but with regard to one type of holding, for example, his slaves, that he would machrim all of his slaves. Therefore, kosav rachmona me odom velo kol odom. Odom, the people that he owns, namely the slaves that he owns. So here the Torah, after telling you mikol asher lo, it also says me adam, meaning not only is a person banned from dedicating as a chirem all of his property, he can't even dedicate all of one type of property, and this example is all of his slaves. V'i kosav rachmona me adam, if the Torah had said not to machrim all of his slaves, well, delo sagyole beloy avoida. He needs, there, I understand why he has to hold on to some of his slaves, because he needs them for work on his property. He needs manpower. Avol sode, however, with regard to fields, sagyole bedistoyren. A person could survive even if he owned no property. He could hire himself as a sharecropper to work for others, and thereby receive a percentage of crops while serving as a sharecropper by other people's property. Therefore, with that, I would have thought that it wouldn't be a problem with being machrim all of his own personal property, of his fields. There's a version, an added girsa on the inside margin, which we will read. V'i ashmin es sode. Had the Torah said not to machrim all of one's fields, mishum dechiyusa. This he depends on for all livelihood. Aval odom sagi le bishamo biamo. But as far as slaves, well, a person maybe should be allowed to machrim all of his slaves and get by on having a shamosha, a hired servant. The Ashmin and Hani Tarti, had the Torah told us about these two things, namely, not to machrim all of one's slaves, not to machrim all of one's inheritance fields. Continuing now in the Gemara, Mishum, the Hocha Chiyusa, Vahocha Chiyusa. Both of these are examples of things that are necessary for one's livelihood, slaves and property and land. Avol metaltalin lichreminhu kulhu. But as far as portables that one has, maybe there wouldn't be any problem with being machrim, with making a dedication, a chirem dedication of all of one's portables. Therefore, tzrichi, I have to be told that those two, one is not allowed to machrim them 100%. Mi behema lomali, what do I learn from the word in the Torah, or the we'll say the reference to animals? L'chadetanya, we have the following Tanaic source in which we will understand what the role of behema in this posuk is. Yochol yachrim odom beno uvito avdo v'shivchasu evrim uste miknoso. Could it be that a person is entitled to make a chirim dedication of his son, daughter, or his Jewish slaves and bond maids? And stay miknoso is a purchase field. It's a type of field that when the yovel comes, he will not get it back. It's not returned to him. It's a purchase field as opposed to an inheritance field. So can he machrim these things? Talmud lomar behema. Ma behema yesh lo rishus lemochra. Just like behema, which is featured in this posuk, which deals with the chirim dedications, one has a rishus, he has an entitlement to sell animals. Av kol sheyesh lo rishus lemochra. So to anything that he has a right to sell. So you might ask, v'halo bitok tana yesh lo rishus lemochra yochol yachrimena. A person's underage daughter, minor daughter, one, in fact, has the father has a right to sell her until she reaches the age of 12. So, being that he has a right to sell his daughter, does that mean he can issue a chirim dedication concerning her? Talmud lomar behemo. Once again, we cite the behemo example. Ma behemo yesh lo rishus lemochro li oilam. Just like the case of an animal, what's characteristic of an animal? Of an animal sale, it's a permanent sale. Av kol sheyesh lo rishus lemochro li oilam. So to anything that you have a right to sell in a permanent fashion, to the exclusion of one's daughter, whereby a sale might take place, but at age 12, that sale is basically concluded or undone. She leaves the rishus of the one that bought her. It's pointed out that with regard to the case of a sade mikne, which we referred to at the beginning of this source, this is referred to as something. It's a field that he purchased from someone that was the actual heir to a field, someone's inheritance field. I come along and buy it. So with regard to me, that's a stay mikne. So it's considered, in a manner of speaking, that it's not really mine, because when the yovel comes, it is returned to the original owner. So as a result of this, this is called a dover she'eno shelo. And there's a concept that a person can't make a dedication of something that's not really his. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Gemara goes on, im legavoy ein odom rashoi v'chulei. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we saw in the Mishnah, and we also saw in the Tanaic source in the Brisa above, was echoing the same sentiment as Rabbi Eliezer that preceded him. In other words, both indicated that one is not allowed to machrim all of his property. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama, are not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Eliezer saying the same thing, that one is not to make a chirim dedication of all of one's properties? The Gemara answers, Iko binayu de Rabbi Elo. The point of difference will be in the form of Rabbi Elo's teaching. The Omar Rabbi Elo. But Usha Hiskinu, Usha was the name of a Torah town, and in Usha it was established, Hamevazves al Yevazves Yoser Mechoimesh, that one who makes expenditures for the poor, one who gives charity, should not give more than one-fifth of his holdings. Maisa be'echod, there was an incident with an individual, Shabikesh Levazves Yoser Mechoimesh, who wanted to in fact give more than a fifth of his holdings for charity, velo hinichu lo chaverov, and his colleagues wouldn't let him. Umanu, who is the colleague referred to? Rabbi Yeshevov. The Amri law, Another version of this story is Rabbi Yeshevov. He was the one that wanted to spend more than 20% of his holdings, namely more than a fifth, for charity purposes. V'lo hinichu lo chaverov, and his colleagues would not let him. Umanu, and who is referred to when we speak about Rabbi Yeshevov's colleague, Rabbi Akiva. He was the one that restrained him, Rabbi Yeshevov, from making this dedication. Now, we pointed out that the point of difference between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Azariah would be this point made by Rabbi Elah. So we'll elaborate based on Rashi. According to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, one would be allowed to make a cherem dedication of more than 20%. The only consideration, as far as Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, is that one should keep something for himself, even though he gave the vast majority away. This is as opposed to Rabbi Elazar and Razayu, who emphasized the need for one to take care of one's holdings. Maybe one should worry about himself. One should be concerned about his own welfare. Therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he would be the opinion that reflects the teaching of Rabbi Elah, not to spend more than chomesh, 20% or a fifth of one's properties, because in the event that one spends more than that, he's endangering his own financial well-being. The Mishnah, Hamachrim v'no uvito v'avdo v'shifchasu evrim. We saw a reference to this in the Gemara we just learned about an attempt to machrim, to make a cherem dedication of one's own son, daughter, or Jewish slaves or bondmaids. Ustei miknoso ein muchramim. Those are not subject to the cherem dedication. Why? She'ein odom machrim dover she'ein o shelo. A person cannot make a cherem dedication of something that's not really his. A person doesn't own his children. A person doesn't own a Jewish servant or bondmaid. They have a financial obligation to him, but it's not a sense of ownership. And likewise, a stein mikne, as we pointed out earlier, is a purchase field that when the yovel arrives, he must part with it. Hakayanim v'halavim ein machrimen, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Cherem dedications, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are not made by Kohanim nor by Levim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hakoyanim ein machrimen. As far as Kohanim is concerned, there is agreement. Sheharomen shelahem. Kohanim don't make a cherem dedication because the Kohanim are the ones who receive a cherem dedication. When one makes a cherem dedication, the Kohen receives it. So since he himself receives it, of what point would it be for a Kohen to make a cherem dedication when it's basically being something that he is automatically going to receive? Rashi on the Mishnah, you can see, Shacharomim shelahem, dichtiv kol cherem b'Yisrael v'chulei, the cave unto the day who, since it eventually goes to him, to the Kohen, Mahano b'kach I havi machrim, of what benefit would there be if he makes a cherem dedication? Ihu gufe zochi bei, he himself would be acquiring it, v'lo yohav le l'kohen acher, and he wouldn't be giving it to another Kohen. So, as far as Kohanim are concerned, there's agreement, they are not machrim. The Mishnah goes on, the Halavim, by our little bays, you can see, Halavim machrimen, she'ein hacharomen shelahem. Here is the point of disagreement, and you'll notice we've used a dashed underline to highlight this very point. If you look the line above, you see we've dashed underline, Halavim ein machrimen. Here we have Halavim machrimen, so you can see the machlokas. And why is it that the Levim are machrim? She'ein hacharomen shelahem. A cherem dedication goes to Kohanim, not to Levim. Omar Rebbe, near in, Rebbe now observes these two Tanoim, and he draws his own conclusion. He says, I prefer, near in, Divrei Rebbe Huda, I prefer Rabbi Huda's approach that stated Levim are not machrim bekarkois when it comes to an attempt of a Levi to offer a Levi field as a cherem. Shenemar, it says, regarding the cities that were granted to the Levim in the division of the land of Israel, it says, Ki achuzas oilom hi lohem. It shall be a permanent holding for them. So, as such, it's not for a Levi to make a dedication of something that the Torah envisions as being for them, to stay with them. V'divrei Rabbi Shimon, and Rebbe points out that I like Rabbi Shimon's approach that Levim are machrim b'metaltalin she'ein hacharomen shelahen. When it comes to portables, it's not something that they keep. It goes to the Kohanim. Therefore, and there's no pasuk warning against it, saying that the metaltalin must be theirs. Hence, Levim chirim power does exist with regard to metaltalin, and that's how Rebbe sides with Rabbi Shimon that Levim are machrim within the realm of portables. At this point, the Gemara analyzes the Machlokes Tanoim regarding the Levim power to make a Chirem dedication. The Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, who said that Levim, like the Kohanim, are not machrim, Bishlomo Kohanim, I understand his point of view and everyone's point of view with regard to the Kohanim that they're not machrim, because it basically would be a boomerang or maybe it would just ricochet back to them, so to speak. It would come right back to them. So there's nothing accomplished if a Kohen would make a Chirim dedication. Elo Levim, but as far as Levim are concerned, now Rabbi Yehuda said Levim are not machrim. Bishlomo makar koi lo machrimi. I understand they're not machrim. They don't make a chirim dedication with regard to their landholding. Dichtiv, the pasuk says regarding Levi fields, it says ki achuzas oilam hi lohem. It shall be their permanent holding. So as such, it's not for them to give away, to dedicate. Ela metatali lichrimi, but as far as portables, why would Rebbe Yehuda say that Levim cannot machrim portables? Answer, Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Mikol asher loi. In the Pasuk that we cited at the beginning of today's Shir, Perek in Vayikra, Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Chof Ches, the phrase appears, Mikol asher loi, from everything that he has, and it goes on to say, Umiste achuzoso. So the phrase Mikol asher lo, we saw much earlier, is a reference to metaltalin, to portables. So portables are compared in this pasuk to landholding. Makish metaltalin lekarkois. We compare metaltalin to karkois, and just like by karkois, by land, we say levim are not machrim, and we had a pasuk for that. So too, by virtue of this hekish, this comparison, so too with regard to metaltalin, with regard to portables, levim are not to be machrim. And that's as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. The Rabbi Shimon, who says Levim are machrim, Bishlamo Kohanim Kedamoran. As far as Kohanim are concerned, we already discussed that, and that the Kohanim are not machrim. It would just ricochet back to them, so there's nothing gained by a Kohen being machrim anything. Elo Levim, as far as Levim are concerned, which Rabbi Shimon said Levim are machrim, Bishlamo Metaltalin Lachrim. I understand Rabbi Shimon's position with regard to metaltalin, that a Levi can machrim metaltalin, the lo makish, he doesn't make the comparison, the hekish comparison that we saw Rabbi Yehuda making. In other words, the comparison between metaltalin, portables, and land. And land, we saw, they are not tamachrim. Elo mekarkoi, amai, hoksiv, achuzas, hi, oilom, hi, lohem. But as far as karkos are concerned, why would Rib Shimon say that a Levi can machrim his landholding, the Levi's landholding, when the Pasuk instructs the Levi's land to remain theirs forever? So the Gemara answers, you know, you're right. My machrimen nami de komar, the machrimen that Rabbi Shimon said, that's a reference to metaltali. It's a reference only to metaltalin. So that's just to go over Rabbi Shimon's shita. Rabbi Shimon is saying that you can mach. Rabbi Shimon's own shita is that you can machrim, that a Levi can machrim, but only metaltalin. The Gemara asks, is that really shita's Rabbi Shimon, that the Levi's machrim hachroma powers are limited to portables? Now, we saw a concept like that, a limitation of Levi powers to metaltalin, but we saw that through the eyes of Rebbe. Rebbe said he likes Rebbe Shimon's opinion with regard to metaltalin. But that being said, what is Rebbe Shimon's own opinion? Another, once again, Rebbe took part of Rebbe Shimon, adopted part of Rebbe Shimon, but not all of Rebbe Shimon. So Rebbe Shimon's composite approach is that a Levi could be machrim everything. So the Gemara asks this, V'homi v'kotoni seifa, from the fact that the seifa, the latter part of the Mishnah, teaches, Omar Rebbe, Nirin, Divrei, Rebbe Yehuda, b'mekar koi, V'divrei Rabbi Shimon b'metatali. Rabbi says, I like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regard to karkos, that Levim cannot machrim karkos, and I like Rabbi Shimon's opinion that Levim can be machrim, but only with regard to metatalin. Now, what about Rabbi Shimon himself? Michlal de Rabbi Shimon, mikarkoi nami komar. The conclusion would be that Rabbi Shimon himself would say that Levim can machrim across the boards, including land. And that brings back the question, then, if that be the case, what does Rabbi Shimon himself do with the pasuk of Achuzas oilom hi lohem? The Gemara answers, Hochi komar, this is a new understanding. Omar Rabbi, Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda li Rabbi Shimon v'karkos. Rabbi is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that Levim cannot be machrim is something that Rabbi Shimon would agree with, that Levim can't be machrim, but that's with regard to karkos. In other words, with regard to karkos, in fact, there is no disagreement. Everyone agrees that Levim cannot machrim karkos, and that's because we have the pasuk that says Achuzas olam hi lohem. She'af Rabbi Shimon lo nechlak olav ela b'metatalin. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda only with regard to Levim power of cheirem dedications with regard to portables. Ava b'karkos modulei. But with regard to karkos, Rabbi Shimon concedes to Rabbi Yehuda that Levim cannot be machrim karkos. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a structural note that appears in the outside margin that draws our attention to Roman numerals 1 and 2 that appear in diamonds. These are Dinim Shel Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven. And the significance of this marking will be appreciated when we get to Omid Beis, where the second teaching of Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven appears a number of lines from the top, and it appears after a Tanaic source there, so that we know ahead of time that Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven's two halachas will be split, distance-wise, as far as the Gemara is concerned. The topic that we have at hand, under our Nosei heading, Dino Shel Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven, Lemi Noisnim HaCharomim, to whom are Charomim dedications given? Hichrim mitatalin noistan l'chol kohen shiyirtzef. A person makes a chirim dedication regarding portables, will be told that they can be given to any kohen that he wants. A bekarkois, with regard to a karkos dedication, a chirim dedication, noistan l'mishmor shepoga bo yoivel. He will give it to the mishmor that is serving as the not pogabo yovel, but the mishmar that is serving in the Beis Hamikdash at the time that he makes the dedication. Now we turn to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven, Hichrim Metatalin, Noislan l'chol kohen shiyirtze. If a person makes a chirim dedication of portables, he can give it to any kohen he should desire. Shenemar, we have a pasuk that is addressing Aharon, the first kohen in history, and the reference to Aharon, Rashi says, is Aharon and all of his future offspring. The pasuk says, Kol chirim b'Yisrael l'chol yeh. All chirims will be unto you, and unto you means unto you and your offspring, to any kohen in the future. No specification of a kohen, of any particular kohen or service group or time period. Just to any kohen one wants to give his chirim dedication. Hichrim sodoisov, if a person on the other hand is machrim his land, then noisnon l'kohen shevoisim mishmo. He shall give it to the kohen that's serving in that week's service group of kohanim. It may be pointed out by way of background that the collective tribe of Kohanim, if you will, Kohanim were really a subdivision of the tribe of Levi, but the collective kahuna were divided into 24 mishmaros, 24 service groups, each service group serving at 2 weeks during the year. So the cherem of a sodet one who makes a cherem dedication of his field, he is instructed to give it to a kohen in that a member of the service group serving that week in the Beis Hamikdash. Shinemar, where do we know this from? Kistei hacherem lekohen tiyeh achuzoso. That is the pasuk that makes reference to a field dedication in the context of a cherem, and the gomar lakohen lekohen migezel hager. And a word comparison using the word kohen, la kohen, is compared to the topic of gezel hager. Gezel hager is a situation where a person converted to Judaism and someone stole property from this convert. The convert being an example of someone that has no offspring and actually no relatives, because when a person converts to Judaism on a legal basis, he loses all connection to anyone who he was related to before. There's a concept known as ger shenizgayer kekotin shenu ladomi. When a person converts to Judaism, he's like a newborn individual. So that his conversion is like a birth in a manner of speaking on a parable level. The convert goes, immerses himself in a mikveh, a ritual bath, and the mikveh environment can be viewed on a spiritual level as a child is found inside the water that's contained in the pregnant mother, in the mother's womb. So as he emerges from the mikveh, it's like a birth coming forth from a situation of being pregnant in one's mother's womb. So being that the ger is like a newborn, he has no relatives. How is one to repay a convert, let us say, who was the victim of theft, and in the meantime, before payback was made, the convert died? So there's a special halacha called Gezel Hager, which instructs the thief to make his payment, his reparation, if you will, to the Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash. In the case of Gezel HaGer, there is furthermore, if a person, let us say, stole from a Ger and swore that he had not stolen, and then he turned out to confess that he really did, so in addition to the theft, he also swore falsely, that creates an additional obligation of him to bring a Korban. So now, with that background in mind, let us turn to the Gemara. We mentioned that the cherem of a stei achuza is parallel to the laws concerning Gezel Hager. And by Gezel Hager, the payment made in the case of someone who had stolen from a convert, and in the meantime, before paying back the convert in hand, the convert died. And under such circumstances, the money is paid to the Kohanim. The Hossam Minolon, there in the case of Gezel Hager, from where do I know that the money is paid to the Kohen who is serving in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that he will also have to bring his sacrifice? As we mentioned, the case of Gezel Hager is a little more complicated in the sense that it's not just a mere theft, it's a theft accompanied by a denial under oath, which he subsequently confesses. And because of that, a korban must be brought. So we have the following teaching. Desanya, the following Tanaic source concerning Gezel Hager, and we should also point out that we're looking at a pasuk right now from Bamidbar Perek Hei, Pasuk Chesen. On the inside margin, we've recorded this pasuk. You'll notice it reads as follows, V'im ein l'ish go'el, l'hashiv ha'asham elav, if a person has no relatives unto whom to return the theft, ha'asham u'mushav l'ashem l'koin, the theft that's returned shall be paid to the kohen, milvad el ha'kipurim asher yechaper bo olav, besides the ram sacrifice that is brought as atonement for having sworn falsely, sworn in denial of having committed the theft. So we now turn to the Gemara on the fourth line from the top at the beginning of this Tanaic source. It says, Lashem, Lakohen. Konoi Hashem v'nosno l'koin shivosa mishmar. The money that's returned or paid by the thief, that money is paid, so to speak, to the Almighty. That's Kono Hashem, and the Almighty gives ownership of that money to the Kohen, to a Kohen in that service group, that Mishmar. Ata Omer L'Kohen Shibosu Mishmar Eino Ela L'Chol Kohen Shirtzeh. Well, you're saying it's given to the Kohen in that particular week's service group. Maybe he can give it to any Kohen that he should so desire. That we're again referring to the thief, that the thief could pay any Kohen. Kishu Omer, when the Pasuk says Milvad Ela Kippurim Asher Yechaber Bo Alav, that the money is paid besides or in addition to the ram offering that he must bring. Hare B'Kohen Shibosa Mishmar Kosa B'Daber. We see that this Pasuk is talking about the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis Hamikdash, and not just a random Kohen. So that just like the sacrifice, when brought, is brought and processed by specific Kohanim, those Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash that particular week, it is to those Kohanim that the money is paid. Now, from that discussion, we go back and say that the same thing with regard to someone who's machrim his stay achuza, that it, when the person issues a cherim dedication of a field, or an inheritance field, that field is given to a kohen, not a random kohen, but a kohen who is serving at that point in the Beis HaMikdash. Here you see a Roman numeral number 2, and this just reminds us that this is the second din of Reb Chiya Bar Oven. And on the outside margin, we have under our No Say heading, we feature a Roman number 2, Din Hasheni Shel Reb Chiya Bar Oven, the second halacha of his, Sadeh Hayotze L'Kohanim B'Yovel, a Sadeh that goes to Kohanim in the Yovel. Now, that would be a case where someone had dedicated an inheritance field to the Beis HaMikdash. If the owner doesn't redeem it, according to most Tanoim, the Kohen is then distributed, the field is distributed to the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash when the Yovel enters. That's Sadeh Yotzei Kohanim B'Yovel, Nosel L'Mishmar Shepoga B'Yovel. The Gemara will get into detail here and say that it is given to the Mishmar, to the service group that's serving at the time that Yovel enters. So now our Gemara. Sodeh Hayotze L'Kohanim B'Yovel, a field, and the background to this would be, as we said, a person who had dedicated his inheritance field and not redeemed it before the arrival of Yovel. So you have a situation where Yovel arrives and the Beis HaMikdash is in possession of people's inheritance fields. That field goes to the Kohanim. Nosna l'mishmar shepoga bo yovel. So Reb Chiya Bar Oven teaches us that the field is given to kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash when the Yovel enters. Now the Yovel enters at the beginning of the 50th year of the Yovel cycle. Ibaya l'ho poga boi b'shavos mai. What is the din when the beginning of the Yovel year comes out on a Shabbos? What's significant about Shabbos? Shabbos is the day of the week that the service groups, there's a changing of the guard. Namely, that's the end of the week of service of that particular week's group. And on Shabbos, during the daytime of Shabbos, the new service group takes over for this week, starting with midday of Shabbos. So now, in such a case, if the Yovel year begins on a Shabbos, and we've been saying till now that the land is given to the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash when the Yovel enters, but let's say the Yovel year enters on a Shabbos, there you've got two service groups, the last week's Mishmar and the new week's Mishmar. And that change takes place on Shabbos itself, the very day that Yovel enters. So which group gets it? The Mishmar HaYotze or the Mishmar HaNichnas? Amar Bchiyo Bar Ami, Mishmei Dechufana. Chufana is a name. So Bchiyo quotes Chufana, who says, Noisno le Mishmar HaYotze. It's given to the Mishmor that is going to depart on that Shabbos. In other words, the Mishmor that departs on Shabbos, we mentioned that the Mishmor changing of the guard takes place Shabbos during the daytime. When did Yovel enter? Yovel enters, as do all holidays and Jewish occasions, Yovel being one of them, during the night, the evening before. So Yovel entered on whose guard, so to speak? On the guard, while the old Mishmor, the Mishmor HaYotze, was still serving in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's called the Mishmar Yotze. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that shows that we base things on the beginning. We have the following Tanaic source that will show us how this operates. This idea of things are based on the beginning. We have a Tanaic source that says Nimtzeis Ata Omer Echod Yovel VeEchod Shvius. Yovel is a special time in which sold land are returned to the owners. Shvius, the Shemitah year, is a time, amongst other things, that loans are canceled. That's called Shemitas Ksofim. So the source says that Echod Yovel VeEchod Shvius Mishamtin KeEchod. Mishamtim is they cause a cancellation simultaneously. And what do we mean a cancellation? With regard to sold land, the ownership is canceled and it's restored to the original owner. And with regard to debts, financial debts, they are canceled as well. And we're saying over here that the cancellation of land ownership and the cancellation of debts happen simultaneously. This word Elo is problematic. And the Gemara points out, says, Adarabo, Mishum Hochihu. Not Elo. Elo is a word indicating indicating contrast. No, it's rather there's cause over here. How is it that the Shemitas Ksofim and Shemitas Karkois take place at the same time? The answer to that is that Yovel is causes return of land at its beginning. The beginning of the Yovel, that's beginning of the 50th year, that point in time is the same point in time in which the 49th year, which also was a Shemitah year, it's a seventh year of a seven-year cycle, the 49th year concludes. So at that very point when the 49th year concludes, which is the end of a Shemitah year, there's a cancellation of loans. At that very time, the Yovel year is beginning, which cancels ownership of land. Namely, land is returned to original owners. So that in this little source that mentions that both happen at the same time, you don't read Elo Shiyovel Betchiloso, but rather because Yovel cancels at its beginning, at the entrance of the Yovel year, and Shemitah of Shemitah's Ksofim takes place at the end of the Shemitah year. That's how it works out, that they are simultaneous. So therefore the Gemara says, Emo mipnei shehayovel, etc. Because, how do we say that they happen simultaneously? It's because Yovel cancels land ownership at the beginning, which is at the same time as Shemitah canceling loans, which takes place at the end. Once again, the end of the 49th year, 49th year being a Shemitah year, that its end and the beginning of Yovel, which is the 50th year, it happens at the same moment in time. Now, what do we see from here? We see that that which Yovel establishes, it establishes from the very point in time that the Yovel enters. And in our case before, when we were dealing with the Yovel entering on a Shabbos, and we were asking to which service group the lands of the dedicated lands, the steachusis that were hukdash, who will get it? So we're saying it goes according to the beginning of the Yovel year, which is at night, and which service group was was present at that point. The Mishmor Hayotze means those that were serving this past week till now. The Gemara goes on analyzing the sources for the points in law that we just learned. Bishlamo Shvias Besof. I understand that Shvias, the Shemitah year, cancels loans at the end. Dechtiv Miketz Sheva Shonim Ta'aseh Shemitah. At the end of 7 years, there is this Shemitah, this cancellation. Cancellation of loans. Elo Yovel Betriloso. How is it that you say that Yovel has its effect at the beginning of the year? Beginning of a year, we generally understand to be Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of Tishrei. However, B'Yom HaKippurim Hu, we know that Yovel sets in on Yom Kippur, which is 10 days into the new year. Dichtiv B'Yom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar B'chol Artzachem. The blowing of the shofar, which is characteristic of the ushering in of the Yovel year, that takes place on Yom Kippur. The shofar is blasted, and the various halachas of Yovel set in, which includes the setting free of slaves and the return of land to their respective owners, and our topic of land being distributed, the sanctified or dedicated lands going to the Kohanim. So how can you say that Yovel has an effect at its beginning, which would be the first day of the year, when in fact we know from the Psukim that the Yovel effects take place on Yom Kippur? The Gemara answers, the source that we had before that read Nimtzeisa Ta'omer, the most recent Tanaic source, which says that Shemitas Ksofim and land cancellation happen at the same time, Ha'amoni, Rabbi Yishmael, Benosh, Rabbi Yochim, and Brokahi. That source is taught in accordance with Rabbi Yishmael, the Omar, whose opinion states, May Rosh Hashanah hu dechayel Yovel. That Rosh Hashanah, that on Aleph Tishrei, on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, that's really when Yovel begins. Shomo Chizkia bar Biluto. Chizkia heard Rabbi Chiyo bar Oven's teaching at the bottom of Omen Aleph that said, Metatalim of Achirim go to any Kohen one should desire. So Chizkia heard this, V'ozal Omer Kamed Rabbi Avo, and he said it over to Rabbi Avo. And the question is raised, V'lekish Metatali Lekarkois. Why are Metatali, that one is Machrim, are not, why is, they are not compared to Karkos, a Chirim of Karkos? And if they were compared, so just like the Chirim of Karkos, we said, goes to the Kohen who is serving in that Mishmar when Yovel enters. Or let us retract that. That just like Karkois go to the service group that are serving at that time, that a person made his cherem dedication, so too Metatlin should go to the Kohanim that are serving at the time he makes his cherem dedication. So the question is, why does Reb Chiyo bar Oven say that by Metatlin they can go to a chirim of metalton can go to any coin that the machrim should so desire? The Gemara responds, Lav tanoihi, is this not in fact a machlokas tanoim? In other words, your suggestion that we should compare, only some tanoim say you should compare, not everyone though. De'iko de'makish, ve'iko de'lo makish. There are those that compare metalton to karkois, and we saw that in our discussion on Omed Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda makes a comparison. Rabbi Shimon does not make a comparison. And Rabbi Chiyo bar Oven, who did not make the comparison, is Kemad Omer. He follows the Tana, and we know that to be Rabbi Shimon. Kemad Omer lo makshinon, like the opinion says, we don't compare portables to land. And hence, without making that comparison, we come out with two different rules, that with regard to a chirim of metatalin, it goes to any kohen he should want, and only with regard to a chirim of lands does it go to the kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash at that, during that week or at that point in time that he makes his chirim dedication. The Mishnah. Charmei kohanim ein lehem pidyon. person who made a chirim dedication that's destined to be given to a Kohen, once he makes the chirim dedication, it has no redemption. The item is designated as destined to a Kohen without any redemption option for the owner. Ela noisnim lekohenim ketruma. He will give that which he was machrim to a Kohen, just like one would give truma. And truma is a type of thing that doesn't have redemption. Truma is a tithe that one separates from his produce to be given to the Kohanim, something that itself does not have redemption. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Stam Haromim, Lebedek Habayis. If a person says he's machrim something without specifying any additional information when he states his chirim, that's called a Stam Chirim, that goes Lebedek Habayis. It goes to the temple repair fund. Shenemar kol chirim kodesh kadoshim hulashem. The chachomim omrim, the chachomim disagree and say stam charomim lekohanim. The unqualified chirim will be given to the kohen. Shenemar kistei hachirim lekohen tia achuzoso. Now, im kain loma nemar kol chirim kodesh kadoshim hulashem. This, in fact, is the pasuk that Reuven ben Becerra cited. Now, the chachomim address his posuk and say, what does Kol Chirim going to teach me if not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? So he says, Shechal al Kotche Kotchim va'al Kotchim Kalim, that a Chirim can take effect on animals that a person set aside to be offered as sacrifices, whether it be the high holy nature, the Kotche Kotchim, or the lower holy nature, Kotchim Kalim. Machrim Odom es Kodoshov, Bein Kotche Kotchim, Bein Kotchim Kalim. Now, this point, we just saw a source for this idea based on the Pasuk of Kol Chirim Kodesh Kodeshim Lashem. So the Mishnah tells us that a person can make a Chirim dedication of things that he says, set aside as sacrifices, whether it be Kotche Kotchim or Kotchim Kalim. Im neder noisein demeim. If a person, let us say, set aside an animal as a neder. A neder is an obligation that one takes upon himself to bring a sacrifice. And if anything happens to the animal that a person accepted on himself as a neder, he bears responsibility to make good on it. Therefore, if a person, let us say, set aside an animal to bring as a korban olah, and I'm dedicating this animal to fulfill my neder obligation. In a neder, in the initial neder obligation, one says, Hare olai lohavi oila. So granted that a person said, Hare olai lohavi oila, set aside an animal toward that end. Now we have this animal sitting there, waiting to be brought as a korban ola to fulfill this owner's neder obligation. Before bringing in a sacrifice, the owner says, he's machrim the animal. Now, he's not going to give the animal to, he's not going to be able to give the animal to away, because the animal is already earmarked or designated as a sacrifice. But what he is expected to do is take the animal's value, being that this animal is something that he bears personal responsibility for. He will then take its value and give it as a chirim donation. The im nedava, if the animal in question is a nedava. Nedava is a case where a person makes a sacrificial dedication by delineating an animal, hare zu la'ola, for example. He says, I want this to be an ola. In such a case, there is no statement of olai, there's no personal responsibility that one bears, and if something should happen to such an animal that's set aside to fulfill a nedava vow, the owner doesn't bear any responsibility. Now, let us say a person, after having set aside an animal to fulfill a nedava dedication, the person then is machrim. He says, Hare zu chirem. The Mishnah says, Noisin es toivoson. Now, the Mishnah itself explains what is meant by that. Shor ze oilo. If a person designated a particular shor, a particular ox, to be brought as a korban ola, and now in the background we know that if anything should happen to this animal, if it should drop dead, the owner has no further obligation. We then oindin, we make an evaluation. We're trying to evaluate how much a person will have to give in order to fulfill his chayrem donation or obligation taken with regard to this animal that he had designated as an ola under a nedava vow. Now, since, as we said, that the owner doesn't bear any personal obligation to make good on it, so it's not something that has full value with regard to the owner, we therefore come up with the following formula. Oinden, we evaluate, kama odom roitze litain b'shor ze leha'aloisoi oila afal pi she'eno chayov. Let's look at the Rashi, who elaborates and explains this very clearly. You'll notice there's a star that we have in the Rashi, second wide line, Elo Bechtei Toivosa, Toivas Hano Shiesh Lo Bo. The benefit value that he has in this. Yitain Lakoyin. That's what he shall give to the Kohen in fulfillment of the Chirim dedication that he makes concerning this animal that he had set aside as his Nedava. Ketzad. Practically speaking, how is this to be understood? Shor ze oila. Person dedicates an animal as an ola offering. Vehichrimoi. And then made a chirim dedication concerning the animal he had set aside to fulfill his nedava ola vow. Oimdin, we evaluate kama odom roitze litain b'shor ze lahakrivoi oila. How much would a person pay to have this ox brought as an ola she'eno chayav, that he's not really obligated? It's a voluntary offering. Klomar, odom she'eno chayav ola. A person who is not obligated to bring an ola, im yimsa bezoil, if he were to find an animal for really cheap. Notlo, lahakriv doro nakona. A person will say, no big deal, I'll take this small amount of money, buy an animal to bring as a gift to the Creator, to the Almighty. The amount that a person would be willing to lay out to bring a non-obligatory gift sacrifice, that amount of money, yitain ze. That's what he should give to cover his chirim donation of an animal that had been designated as an adova offering. Shizuhi toivas hanoshi eshlobo. This is the benefit value that he has in it. Shari im meso nindava. If the animal were to drop dead or be stolen, eino chayav b'achriyusa. The owner carries no personal obligation to make good on that. Umishifrisha yotzi yedechavoso. The second that he set aside the animal as an ola offering to fulfill his nedava vow, he has fulfilled all personal obligations. Umeatim toivar eino masid. At this point, if anything happens to the animal, he doesn't lose. He's not going to lose any further. He doesn't have to pay any more. All that he loses out is the good feeling, so to speak, of having lost out on a chance to bring a gift to the Almighty. Hare shehifsid haloas oila she'eino chayav. That's what he's lost. He's lost the chance to make an ola offering that he's not obligated to do. So that's how we calculate what's called the toivas hanoh that he has in this, and that's the amount that he'll give toward the chirim dedication. The Mishnah continues, habachor, a firstborn male animal, bein tam, bein balmum, machrimin oso. A person can make a chirim dedication concerning a bachor. The ketzad poidin oso, how do you make the calculation of how the chirim of a b'chor is to be paid. Omdin, we evaluate. Kama odom roitze litain b'v'chor ze litno leven bitoy o leven achoisoy. To explain this, imagine a person has a bechor offering. A bechor, firstborn male animal, what is expected to happen is it's given to a kohen. In the meantime, we have someone that has a firstborn male animal, and instead of the owner giving it to a kohen, someone approaches the owner and says, you know, I happen to have a grandson, the child of my daughter, or I have a nephew. My sister married a kohen, and they have a child, a son. He's my nephew. So a person that has a grandson or nephew that happens to be a kohen, he approaches someone, his friend, that has a bechor in his herd, and says, you know what? Instead of your giving to the kohen, to this bechor that has to be given to a kohen of your choice, give it to my grandson or to my nephew. Well, how much would a person pay the owner of a bechor to direct the bechor to his grandson or nephew? That means to the outsiders, the non-owner's grandson or nephew. So that amount is the amount that would be paid as a cherem dedication if one said he is going to be machrim a bechor. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.